Welcome to Walking in Faith, featuring interviews and reviews that help you rediscover the Catholic faith in our culture. And now here is your host, Barbara Schenkel.
Good morning. This morning we're joined by Paul DeBuff. He's a former Focus missionary, and he's here to talk about a new evangelization effort that he is starting. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And actually, before we get started, I just want to say that I love Catholic radio. It played an enormous part in my reversion. It was very pivotal. It really sparked it. So I'm happy to be with you today and honored to be a part of that. Maybe we can make a difference today as well in someone else's life.
Wow. Thanks so much for that great compliment. Tell us a little bit about your backstory. First of all, how you got involved in Focus and how that transitioned as you became in the workforce there in Texas.
Sure, I'd be happy to. You know, I really wasn't involved with Focus in my undergraduate years, so I ended up leaving college, largely being unchurched, unformed, and it was really, like I had mentioned, my reversion was sparked initially by a station called Relevant Radio, Catholic station out of Green Bay, Wisconsin, and once my reversion had really been sparked, I stumbled upon some Focus missionaries at the local Catholic, local college, so I really just started spending time with them, and really, for me, it was the witness, because my mind was already there, and I still needed to make the 13-inch journey from my head to my heart. So meeting Focus missionaries, especially the men, who, you know, I'd really lacked a lot of male mentorship in my life, and really spending time with those missionaries who were men, really sparked the completion of my reversion, because I saw that witness, and really gave me a sense of, hey, this is really possible, and it's possible to be a good Christian man, and in fact, I was convinced that that's really the best way to become a good man was to be a devout Catholic. So really, that's the background of my interaction with Focus, and then once I spent time with them, they invited me to apply for staff, and I had seen how on fire they were, and I wanted to be there too. So they invited me to apply for staff. I did. I went on the interview weekend. It was a lot of fun. And fast forward a couple of months, I was a missionary, and I was a missionary for 3 years. The last year, I was a team director and got to guide others in the apostolate. So it really set the stage going forward for me. Now, you had asked about do missionaries continue the work? Yeah, I think once you're kind of bathed in that culture, and especially your conversion strengthened so much, it's hard not to do something, you know, when you go out there. And really, when you see the need that's so severe on the college campus, that need doesn't really change much when you go out into the real, quote-unquote, real working world. So most of us are doing something, yeah.
Paul, talk a little bit about how you went from Relevant Radio to Focus, just in how you found out about it. Had you graduated college at this point, or talk a little bit about how that connection was made from having sort of a spark in your spiritual life through Catholic radio, and then how you actually found your way into this very specific group.
Sure. You know, I was looking for, after I'd really gotten an intellectual conversion that had really begun to be completed, and I was going to regular confession and Mass every Sunday, and I knew that I couldn't do it alone, and really my family wasn't very active in the faith, and many of them, most of them, had really fallen away. And so I knew that I had to look elsewhere for support in being a good Catholic man. So I really just started looking around and trying to find young adult groups. And most of the young adult groups I found were actually people who were really far older than me. And so I started to look in college ministries, college apostolates, because I was closer to that age at the time. I think I was about 25. And I really just sort of stumbled on Focus, where I was living, and found out that there's some sort of young adult thing going on over there. And so I really just went to check it out. I think I went to what they call the Seeker Bible Study, where it's an introductory study where they invite everyone and give you a sense of what Bible study will be like. And then I signed up for a Bible study and spent time around a bunch of college kids. But I really was spending more time with the missionaries themselves.
And so, where did you go to college? And did you not have anything like Focus on your campus?
No, I went to school at Middle Tennessee State University, right in the center of in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. There was a small Catholic house. I think there were just two people who lived there, and they would do things occasionally. But it wasn't until I met Focus that I really got a sense of how robust the Catholic apostolate could really be on the college campus.
And were you a practicing Catholic at this point, or were you just sort of a nominal Catholic?
Well, I was practicing at becoming a practicing Catholic. Yeah, I think I went to confession every now and again. I knew I should be going to Mass, but for the most part, I was a nominal Catholic. I would defend the Church against those who would attack it, those either Protestant or atheist attacks, but I was really not practicing at the time.
And Paul, you kind of bring up a point about this sort of malaise among young people, that the faith really isn't integrated into their life in a meaningful way. Is this sort of prevalent now as culture dominates their thoughts and social media, and that the faith sort of recedes into the background as something that's sort of, yeah, I was brought up this way, but it's not really important or meaningful?
Sure. I think the malaise you just mentioned, it's widespread, it's everywhere, it's in the water, it's in the air we breathe. So Catholics everywhere, and this is true of Christians in general, but I would say it's maybe even more true of Catholics, at least in America. That's kind of the apostolic work that I'm aware of. You know, we are almost completely unformed, almost completely uncatechized, unchurched. We've been drinking in the culture, and with that comes the culture of moral relativism of all kinds, and we're not necessarily aware that we're drinking this in. So really most of the work we're doing here in Dallas is about an apostolate of friendship, because you may reach out to people, but people think they already know what Catholicism is, and they're often not going to Mass. But if you can reach them, so if you try to evangelize people with just doctrine, it kind of falls on deaf ears. And what we found is the greatest need of our generation, in my opinion, is loneliness. So what we've been working on is an apostolate of friendship, just reaching out to people and starting small groups and learning how to be excellent friends, because part of the malaise of the quote-unquote social media culture is that we are, in fact, less social than ever before. And we've actually begun to lose our skills at making and maintaining good friendships. Non-commitment is rampant. That's kind of my soapbox. There's a great poverty of friendship, and the lack of formation is because we're not spending time in friendship with those who are very well formed and are on fire for their faith.
Wow. We're speaking with Paul DeBuff, and we want to probably explain to our listeners, we're talking about FOCUS, meaning the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. It's a very dynamic evangelization effort at some colleges and universities right here at in Philadelphia, Temple University, very dynamic. Paul, you're speaking about a lot of the hot-button issues that are really at work in our culture right now, and you know, as Catholics, we've always been sort of reticent to be evangelists because we think of evangelists as the Protestants. Talk a little bit about how some of the non-denominationals are really good at building what you're calling this friendship, but they can't lead to the ultimate part of our faith, which is that transformation in Christ.
Right. You know, it's interesting. We visited, in doing some of our research down here, we visited, I guess what you would call a megachurch down here, a Protestant non-denom megachurch. And I couldn't help but notice that when we walked in, we were welcomed. Someone said, welcome. And then we walked about 15 more feet, and someone else welcomed us. Said, welcome, we're glad you're here. And I pointed out to my friends, have you noticed that we've been welcomed two or three times already, and we've only walked about 100 feet?
Yeah.
And so they really, it's interesting because often megachurches or the Protestants in general are much better at that initial hospitality because they know and they understand that the church, there's something fundamentally intrinsic about the church in relationships with one another. And I think when you don't have the sacrament to give you kind of a lasting, a staying power in the church, you have to find it in other places. You have to find Christ in other places. And it is church teaching that we find Christ in one another, and we need to re-examine and re-emphasize that part of church teaching. But that is something they have really understood much better than Catholics, at least over the past 40 years. I mean, the Jesuits were sort of the original global missionaries, so this is not new to Catholicism. So we need to be reaching out, and we need to be evangelizing. And I think real evangelization in America isn't going to happen on the street corners. It's going to happen in everyday relationships, reaching out to those who are lonely, who do not appear to be lonely, but they really are. All of us are, really, at some point. And Mother Teresa commented on that the greatest loneliness in the West, the greatest poverty in the West is loneliness. And it's a greater poverty than what they experienced in Calcutta, which is primarily a material poverty, but ours is an emotional and a spiritual poverty.
Right, and I was going to say that one of the things that you talk about is these friendships that we should be building in the Catholic Church, and how can we fit these models, which are really dynamic, into the Catholic structures?
Sure. You know, we actually just had a meeting at St. Thomas Aquinas here in Dallas. We've got a fairly dynamic young adult apostolate that's really been rolling for about 2 to 3 years, and we had a visioning meeting about how small groups and small group friendships can really feed into the larger group dynamic about developing leaders and developing those who experience conversions and then go out and reach out to others. One of the first apostolates we started down here in Dallas was what we called the little family. And so you just mentioned the growth groups about how they're involved in, you know, food, study, sports. They go for about 18 weeks. That's actually an interesting growth model. The little family that we started, it was a co-ed rosary dinner group. And really, we'd pray the rosary, we'd have dinner, have night prayer. It was really to develop intentional friendships with each other to grow in Christ and in unity with one another. And it sort of a springboard from that group, we also ended up spending other time together. We would do, I don't know that we really did much in the way of service projects, but we would just spend social time together. We would be invited to other things and other initiatives that began, but everything began in that core group. So I think that is something very interesting. The most important thing, I think, when Catholics are starting these apostolates, though, is you've got to start small. Because there's a tendency, and it's really pride, that we can map this out, we can sort of get our business plan together and map it all out, and we can evangelize the world using a Starbucks-based business model, you know, a global business model. But fundamentally, that's not what Christ did. Christ picked 12 friends, and he went camping for 3 years. You know, I mean, he was about developing small group friendships that do everything together. So that's actually very intriguing, these growth groups. And I want to look more into that, but these small groups in general can give people an opportunity to do other things, to go play sports together, to go do service, to go visit prison. But I think fundamentally you've got to establish real, authentic friendships with one another. And often that comes before formation in the faith itself, because people are more aware that they are hungry for relationship with each other, and it's through fulfilling that relationship that they understand that they were just missing Christ the whole time. Models that are addressing needs in different ways, we as Catholics have got to get better at that. You know, I think we've kind of done the same thing over and over for the past 40 years, and most Catholics are really just used to going to Mass on Sunday, and that is good, and that is really the fundamental basis of our faith. But if we want to grow in our own conversion, and we need to reach, and we want to reach out to others, we need to do it in new and creative ways. Really, all of which, by the way, are really just hearkening back to what it means to be a human person. You know, spending time in sports, we're physical creatures. Spending time with food, we eat. These are not exactly new, untested ideas, but the things we've just sort of forgotten about in our modern day, and we think that setting up a Facebook group is often kind of enough, or having a sharp web page is enough, and then we wonder why our small groups or our apostolate is not really thriving. But fundamentally, it's about how do we get back to real, authentic friendships that support and form us in the faith. So I think that's an interesting model. I'd like to look more into that.
Yeah, and then the other point would be that once you are beginning to be formed, then you also are called to go out and evangelize. I think we have a Catholic idea of, because we have clergy, that we sit back and they teach. But this really can't be the case right now. In our culture, we are called through our baptismal commission to go out and tell the good news. So this really, I think, is a model that empowers people to go out and in a comfort way, in a way that's comfortable to them. As you say, you sort of feel a little bit more empowered when you're in a group of, you know, of maybe of the same age or of the same likes. You get grounded in that, and then you feel the confidence. They really want to empower you with the confidence to go out. Now, I just think if we can employ some of these models with all of the gifts that Christ gave his church, we would be ever more dynamic.
Right. Who was it? I'm blanking on who said it, but all we need to do, we don't need to defend the church. All we need to do is let the lion out of the cage, so defend herself.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, and actually I'm finishing up a master's in humanities, and one of the classes we took is the liberal arts, and one of the liberal arts is rhetoric, the classic understanding of how to persuade someone. And Aristotle, he did it first and he did it best, so we usually study Aristotle when it comes to rhetoric. And his point was, look, the truth is more attractive than its opposite. So if you have the truth and you fail to persuade others, it's your fault, because you had the truth and you just didn't use it correctly. You didn't communicate it. So if it is true, and I believe it is, that we have the truth in the church, both truth and goodness are more attractive than their opposite. So really, all we have to do is let the lion out of the cage and let the lion do its own work and provide the truth and goodness to those around us. And very quickly, we've found that once people are immersed in the truth, they don't want to go back. And it really softens your resistance to reaching out to others, because you have fallen in love. I mean, if someone is falling in love, it's hard not to tell everyone about them, about this person you've fallen in love with. So if the truth is more attractive than its opposite, then all we have to do is unveil the truth, and we're almost home.
Paul, I wanted you to answer one quick question before we conclude here, and that is, we have so many young people who, you know, are formed in the faith by attending Catholic school, let's say a Catholic high school, or at least a, you know, religious education program in their younger years. They go to college, they drift away from the faith. Parents feel, you know, there's a lacklusterness with regards to the Catholic faith and how to win these souls for Christ. There's nothing really for young adults or, you know, college-age kids home for the summer to really plug into in the church. They may attend the church with their parents, maybe because they're forced to, but there's nothing really dynamic for them. There's nothing really challenging them in our church currently to be evangelizers, to have this mission, to have a sense of this relationship with Christ. Do you find that true, and is that an incredible loss that we are just neglecting?
Oh, it's a massive problem. It's absolutely true. We did a recent study of our own geographic area for St. Thomas Aquinas Parish, and in our area alone, there are at least 2,000 to 3,000 young adult Catholics who call themselves practicing. That comes from about 22,000 young adults, and then probably about 30% of them are Catholics, and then a percentage of those are actually practicing Catholics. And there's just nothing for them. And more than anything, they don't know each other. They don't know one another because we're so isolated. So our real challenge is, how do we build, number one, build our own conversion, and number two, how do we build relationships with those who want to be converted, who want to continue deepening their faith? And number three, how do we get the word out that we actually exist? Because currently, no one knows or no one believes that young adult groups exist. And even if they do, sometimes, frankly, the model is just not that good. It's not that excellent. And our programming, it needs work, and sometimes our music needs work, and there's a lot to be done. But fundamentally, we have to start small, and we have to be spending time in meditation, in prayer, mental prayer, the prayer of the saints. And it's when we really begin to convert ourselves to spend time in prayer, to allow God to change our own hearts, that change will begin moving. Not right away, most likely, but it does happen. And it starts with me growing in my own holiness. And then as I run the race, look around when I've been running for a while until I'm out of breath, and look around and see who's standing next to me. I think that's where we start.
Paul, if people want more information on what you're doing at St. Thomas Aquinas in Dallas, or just some possibly someone to talk to bounce ideas off of, can I give out your number to them? Are you available as a resource for them?
Sure, absolutely. You know, I've done research all over the country, and it's helped me a lot. And in fact, this interview has helped me a lot, actually, now that I think about it. So absolutely, feel free to put them in touch with me, and also St. Thomas Aquinas Church here in Dallas, the Young Adults Program led by Brandon Barker, has been doing great things and is studying the need and is trying to come up with real solutions to address that need. So feel free to contact me or St. Thomas Aquinas Parish.
Okay. And where can people find you? Do you have a website or Facebook? Or
I am actually not on Facebook. So you may have heard that I have a little bit of a soapbox against Facebook. It is very useful, but I found it not to be a great use of my own time.
I tend to want
to call people personally, but I don't have a website yet. We are working on that at St. Thomas, but you will have my phone number, and we can go from there.
Okay. Well, we've been speaking with Paul DeBuff, a former Focus missionary doing active work in the Dallas area with regards to these friendship groups in the Catholic Church and really cultivating and evangelizing the faith. Thank you so much for your time, Paul.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you for having me, and God bless you.
All right, Paul, can we conclude with a prayer? Would you want to lead us?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good and gracious Father, you led the Israelites through the desert in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. Your presence to them was made manifest. Help us also to remember how you have been made manifest in our own lives. And through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, strengthen us and allow us to place ourselves under her mantle. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary,
Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. You are listening to Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown and 1420 AM in Coatesville and Chester County.